Hello. Welcome to episode 212, I'm aware, there he is, of Millennial Movie Talk. I'm your host, Alex, joined with me by Christian.
Hello. Exciting.
Exciting. Very and exciting. Michael.
Hello. Slightly less exciting.
Michael, you were here last week, so you would be thrilled to know that I have one pair of shoes under my desk today.
Oh, only one. When did you do the clean out?
The other day. I took the rest out. Needed to wear them.
Yeah, and you couldn't be bothered going under the desk? Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, we like to talk movies when we're not talking shoes.
Yeah, I am so disappointed that I missed the shoe cleanup anecdote. That's clearly canon.
Yeah, basically, before the show last week, I was like, I have like 5 pairs of my shoes under my desk at the moment, just because I kick them off under my desk. And then I asked Michael how many pairs of shoes he has under his desk, and he said 0, and I said, that's the appropriate amount.
Well,
it turned into a big debate for a minute.
Glad we relived it.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah.
I did clear it up. The question is,
Chris, how many shoes do you have under yours?
0. But often there'll be one pair there. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that's the wrong number. You need at least one there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, it's been another big week in life, and I'm sure we watched some movies and TV shows, and I guess I'll just do a little thing at the moment, because I saw a new movie in theaters on Friday night. Comes out properly here in about a week and a bit, 2 weeks, I think. And it's a movie called Talk to Me. I'm not sure if Chris has heard about this one, but it's the it's the Raka Raka one. Basically, I was sitting at work Thursday. I bought my tickets to Oppenheimer and Barbie, and I was like, what does Palace Nova have on? And then they had like this advanced screening randomly you could buy tickets to for Talk to Me, and there was only single seats left for a Friday. I'm like, well, I want to go to that. So I went to it, and I sat there, and I sat next to a couple who were clearly on a very awkward first date.
Oh.
And that was a bit of fun.
Was this the right movie for a first date?
Probably not. I don't know. Overall, the movie's fantastic. I really loved the movie. Mm. It's always nice when Australian films are good. And this was really good. And I had a feeling it was filmed mostly in Adelaide because they're Adelaide-based directors. But the quality to it made me think, they might have got funding and shot it in like Victoria or somewhere else, like some studio sets.
Yeah.
And I looked up Laughter and predominantly Adelaide.
Oh, okay.
Adelaide studio here, and then some in Paraka and some in Mawson Lakes.
Is there a big production value?
Yeah, it does. It feels like a proper movie. Yeah, I think they got $5 or $7 million.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Compared to what they normally work with, which is...
Well, compared to indie films in general, indie films don't get that much to work with.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Who picked it up? Was it A24?
A24 picked it up at Sundance. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I really like the characters. It was scary.
So what's the story behind?
Basically, it's like their friends group, or like people in their year level at their school, they have a almost porcelain or ceramic hand. And what you do is you grab onto the hand and you say, talk to me. And then you say, let me in. And you will get possessed by a demon. And they let it happen for 90 seconds and then they close the gate. And it's meant to be just like an adrenaline, like a rush, almost like a high. Yeah. So like they get that at parties, they pull it out, they do it for like 90 seconds and then they close it and they like, it's great. But like the whole thing is like, if the door doesn't close by 90 seconds, what happens? And it's really cool. Yeah. It's a really cool concept. And it's executed very well. It's funny. It's scary. I teared up in a horror movie. A lot of effective stuff they did in this movie, shot well, like edited well, really surprised by the quality of the filmmaking. from them on this one. And very excited to see it again. And I'm just happy that they made a really great film for their first pretty much feature.
That's good.
So yeah, no, really excited to see what they do next, and I think they're gonna blow up after this.
They're pretty well known for some of their like horror, like a horror Ronald McDonald ones back in the day, which sort of kicked them off on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, the Ron ones.
Yeah.
That would be
Ron fighting in TDP food court.
That was, yeah, Royal Stampede did that with them.
Yeah. But
so
humble beginnings, eh?
Crazy. Crazy they're from Adelaide. One of them walked into my Kmart store once.
I reckon I saw them jogging once.
Yeah, one of them was dating Riley Reid, and him and Riley Reid came into my Kmart during midnight shopping.
I remember you messaging us that. It was just like, boys, Riley Reid just came in.
That's the one you recognised first, obviously.
No.
No, but I feel like that's the more talking point.
Yeah, that's the story, right?
That's the story.
So, yeah. Really good movie. Check it out when it comes out.
Pew pew.
Pew pew.
Pew pew.
What's other people been watching?
Slowly, and by slowly I mean extremely slowly, getting through Succession. So we're into season two now by one episode.
Fuck it. You said slowly, didn't you?
I did say slowly. You meant it. Look, hopefully after the next week and a half, me and Gemma's not going to have any stuff to do on her evenings, so we'll be able to sit down and chug through it a bit more. But ending to season one, intense.
What happened to the end of season one?
He was going to get drugs and practically didn't save the kid from drowning. He swam away, and then the dad used that as leverage to stop the fucking bear hug.
My number one boy.
That was the number one boy part. That's like,
you're my number one.
It's one of my favorite parts of the show, and I quote it the most. And I'm like, what happened?
Alex likes that one.
Yeah, you're my best boy. You're my number one boy. He is the number one boy, though.
He is.
The eldest boy.
Roman still is my favorite character. I find myself laughing at him way too much.
Oh, it's the episode when he freaks out because he thinks he might have killed people on the...
Oh, yeah, at the wedding. The rocket shuttle. Blows up.
Oh, the rocket.
Everyone keeps asking if he's okay, and he's just like, yeah, yeah.
I love this scene.
And then he finds... Jerry tells him that it was just like some dude lost an arm or something, and he just...
The thumbs,
that's right. And he's like... So what we did was lose a couple of thumbs, and he absolutely freaks out, like,
just enjoying. When he's just like, guess he didn't kill anyone and just lost a couple of thumbs. This guy.
Look, the ending to season one was really good. I'm really keen to keep pushing through. But it's taken way too long. I also agree.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on, bro.
Other than that, put
your Kirk's pub squash down, mate.
Watching them meet the parents. And then Meet the Fockers. They're pretty funny. I said to Chubby.
Have you watched them before?
Classics?
Never watched them before. Never watched them before, but Meet the Parents is always the poster I remember seeing in the video store with him in the blue robe and the lie detector.
Mm. Yeah, so, I can see that.
I think we're just scrolling and Meet the Parents is on Netflix, and then Little Fockers is on Netflix. And then Meet the Fockers is not. So we watched the. I think we find we sort don't of agreed on the Fockers. First one, and then we went to watch.
Please
the second
don't watch
one
Little Fockers. Little Fockers is atrocious.
Oh, I can imagine it's done like almost 10 years later.
Yeah, it's real bad. Not good movie.
Yeah, Meet the Parents though. Yeah,
Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers are great. Dustin Hoffman in number two is funny as hell.
I've got nipples, Michael. Can you milk me?
I think number two. I remember growing up being. Funnier until I grew up and watched number one again and went, no, number one's just a better movie.
Number one is a better movie.
I've watched number one heaps growing up because it was just one of the DVDs that my parents had.
Yeah.
And having, like, when I finally watched it as an adult, I just, like, so much more of it was, like, funny and accessible. It's, like, just so
it's
good.
It's just, like, it's just, number one's got the effect where it's, like, well, what else can go wrong? And it's just, like, a domino effect where, like, everything, just like, just when you think nothing else could go wrong, he brings a stray cat home that destroys the dress.
Yeah.
It's just. It's sort of like a one step forward, two steps back sort of.
And I think number two gets really dragged down by the whole, what's his face? Rob De Niro's character looking for, like trying to investigate whether the kid's Greg's or not.
Like, it's always in my head, like in the first one, they like obviously play into he was, CIA agent a bit. This one, him rolling under the bed in the camper van into like a fucking secret little compartment. Just, I can't imagine Robert De Niro like being happy about it because he always just seems like such a serious actor. No, all right, now we want you to roll along the floor under a bed.
But the best parts of Meet the Fockers is just De Niro and Ben Stiller scenes when they're driving the van. And he's like, "Do you want to honk the horn, Greg?" And the captain gets to honk the horn.
Honestly, I found Dustin Hoffman quite funny.
Dustin Hoffman is good in it.
Yeah,
The football game's great.
Oh.
But yeah, don't watch Little Foggers. That's my biggest advice.
That's your advice. Well, that's good because we had sort of thought about it.
Don't. It's really bad.
Because is Greg's mother played by Barbara Streisand?
Yeah,
yeah.
Does she return in Little Foggers?
Yeah, they all do.
Oh man, imagine that.
Crazy. Crazy world we live in.
Yeah.
What a Barbara Streisand returning for movies.
That's about it for me, really. I haven't watched too much.
Has anyone else watched anything?
I've seen a bit of Always Sunny.
Yeah, new Always Sunny.
The new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the bowling one.
Yep, that one and the Chuck E. Cheese. That it's
the Risky Rat pizza.
Risky Rats.
So I see a lot of people online saying that the animatronic boobs being taken away is like them doing like a metaphor for their episodes that have been removed, where it's like you've got Charlie who's saying, yeah, these episodes are great. Like I remember watching them.
Right.
And then like Glenn, who hasn't seen them before, it's like almost a new viewer, and Charlie tries to show them, but they're gone.
Interesting. Interesting.
So that's interesting. And I just like I like the parallel between like Danny questioning all of the like types of humor that they had back in the original day. But he's like, Danny's just like, yeah, but who are we making fun of? Who are we getting? So yeah, and then it had a great smash cut at the end.
Yeah. Honestly, the Risky Rat one. Now I need to give it another watch with that perspective in mind. And, more so the bowling one.
Bowling one's great.
The bowling one, it was quite excellent.
The return of Gail the Snail and the McFoyles.
I always love when all the side characters coming in, like a bunch at once as well.
Mm-hmm. Like I didn't realize the McFoyles haven't been in the show since season 9, since when they lock them in their apartment for Thanksgiving.
Went and set it on fire.
Yeah, that's the last time we saw them with foils.
Really?
Yeah. They haven't been in it. Like, their last appearance was season 9.
Season 16.
Okay.
They had a good return. What was their thing? Were they no chili and no fries?
Chili cheese fries?
Yeah.
And when Danny rolls the ball with the chili in it down the lane?
Yeah.
Oh, that and Charlie. I enjoyed with the waitress how it wasn't Charlie infatuating over the waitress. She just asked him, like, "Oh, what do you do with your elbow when you bowl?" So he when he goes to bowl now, he's so in his head about how he bowls that he fucks up.
Do we know when it's dropping in Australia?
Nah, not yet. No word of it yet. The bowling one, and then just like I think it was a good Dennis episode too.
Yeah, I think it was the bit with the chili cheese fries when they explain like where their phobia came from. And Dennis just like that, you like just says how like, stupid it is.
So good. And then I liked seeing one of the one with the one eye, I like seeing his perspective when he bowls because he's got no depth perception.
When it cut to his vision, that was good.
Yeah, no, still this season's been really solid.
Yep.
And they're doing well. They're not doing the podcast at the moment because of the actor strike. Which gets me sad about no Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible Part 2 had to stop filming.
Really?
Because of the actor strike.
Damn.
And but basically,
I was gonna say you've been rewatching all the Mission Impossibles, haven't you?
Yeah, I did last week. I saw Dead Reckoning on Sunday again. It was really good. People should watch Dead Reckoning Part 2, Part 1.
I really do.
It's a lot of fun. It's a good movie. That's good. Second best Mission Impossible, in my opinion.
I watched a film this week featuring Mr. Cruise.
Oh.
Ooh.
You got choppy interest.
It was Top Gun again, wasn't it? You watched Top Gun again.
No, it's not Top Gun. It is military based, though, but not Top Gun. Can you guess?
A 4th of July? Born on the 4th of July?
No, but... That's an alright. That's a good flick.
That's another good
shout out.
Military Tom Cruise base. I'm gonna have to ask for a hint here, Christian.
It's a foreign setting.
Foreign setting, so not sci-fi. Sci-fi.
Foreign military setting with Mr. Cruise. He's got an eye patch. No.
Last Samurai.
No.
No. What's he done with the eye patch? Valkyrie. Oh, I haven't seen Valkyrie.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I watched Valkyrie because I've been reading a book, and the book mentioned the von Stauffenberg's little plot to get Hitler, and that's what this movie was made about.
Ooh!
And Tom Cruise, plays this eye-patched German officer who tried to kill Hitler because you know Hitler's bad.
So, like, doing what Mads Mikkelsen tried to do in Dark Destiny.
Yeah, it's on theme to what we've done recently. That's a spiritual successor, really.
Yeah. Who plays it better, Mads or Tom?
Well, that's the thing, because I saw this movie when it came out, and I remember it being all right, except no one does German accents. They're all just speaking, like, normal American and Englishman.
And you don't like this?
It's fine. It's so because there's another movie coming up with that.
Napoleon?
Yeah.
You saw the trailer?
I have not seen the trailer because I'm not going to watch the trailer.
Yeah, so I watched the trailer because the trailer's brand new and that's what it is. It's just there's no attempt for any accents. It's just Queen's English, but we're in France.
So, yeah, I did hear about this with Napoleon and I love a good... You know, Napoleon scolding someone with a French accent. But, like, I guess if it's an accent, it's not really legitimate anyway. Like, it's, you know, it can still be a bit silly.
Because it almost took me off guard when I watched it and I went, oh, yeah, I guess they're not doing that.
Yeah. Language is a funny thing. You can
I was going to say, it's always weird when they, like, at first at least, when they're meant to be foreign, but... have just like the straight American accent or something.
Exactly. It's like you can go the Hunt for Red October route, which is Sean Connery speaks in a Russian accent when he's speaking English to Russians. But then when he starts speaking to the Americans, he just speaks like normal Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
So this movie, just no accents, which is fine. It worked. And
Tom's out here doing his own stunts, not learning accents.
Yeah, exactly. Because having just read about like the historical account, I was coming back to this movie going like, oh, I bet it is awful. You know, it can't be accurate. It's very spot on. It's very good. Like two or three of the kind of quintessential moments to mention, they portray like word for word what happens or what happened.
Do they base the movie off like? Any source material
from when I watched the movie I went they definitely based the movie off the same source material that I've been reading
yeah
which yeah which is the books of William Shear, the historian. Mm-hmm. So,
William Shear.
Yeah, like it's deadly accurate, and Tom Cruise, he carries it. He's good. The man knows what he's doing.
It's weird that now we've forgotten that Tom Cruise can actually do dramatic acting.
Yeah,
like, I know. Mission Impossible is technically dramatic acting, but you know it's more action, dramatic action. Whereas, like, Once Upon a Time, this man was in A Few Good Men, The Last Samurai, and Valkyrie.
Yeah, and when I was looking up a bit about the movie, it was a bit controversial at first in Germany because they were like, they have strict laws against Scientology and stuff because they have strict laws against cults. Which is relevant to the movie of why those laws exist. But, so they weren't going to let him do it. And they ended up giving their support to Hollywood to make the film. And the film's, like, really, really accurate into it. So Hollywood did a good job. They didn't make it cringe.
Go so, Hollywood. Yeah. Who directs it? Is it like a...
I looked up who directed it, and it was interesting. Like, you know, it was someone we know. It was a friend.
Brian Singer.
Oh, not Brian Singer.
What did he do?
Oh, he touched kids.
Did he?
Yeah. Is that Brian Singer?
He made The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, sexual allegation. Sexual allegations.
Okay, well.
Not friend of the show, Brian
Singer.
Not
a friend of the show. Enemy of the show, Brian
Enemy
Singer.
Of the show. Very, very not a fan of Brian here.
Really? He directed Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, that's not a, you know, I wouldn't put that on the resume.
Man, cancel this man. What's going on?
Get rid of him.
Stop
I think
watching
we, they
Bohemian
did cancel
Rhapsody.
Him, Chris.
That's why you should not watch it.
That's why. Not the 100 cuts a second scene. That gives you edited whiplash.
Yeah. So, screw him. Go Von Stauffenberg and go Tom Cruise's portrayal of him because I thought it was respectful and
you know
that's really good. Yeah, and if you're ever in Berlin, visit the memorial to the resistance because it's pretty cool. People that opposed Hitler, you know, they're under threat of death.
Well, that's important,
and that's what the movie's about.
Awesome. You know, people talk a lot of shit about Tom Cruise and they go, Alex, why do you love Tom Cruise so much? I just want to make my stance here. He's a whack job outside of acting ability and stunt and movie making. You know, I love him in the realm of movie making as a person. He's a bit, you know, he's got a few marbles rolling around up there.
He's had one or two bad knocks.
I really don't see him show his face in public that much. Other than back
he looks
in the
old.
Day when he
I've
was
got
just...
a photo of him. He looks old.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get it up after. But yeah, he's looking pretty old, old Tom. Mm. So yeah. I watched all the films of a franchise in a day on Sunday. And you'd be surprised to know I'd only ever seen the third film. I'd never watched the first two movies, and that was Austin Powers. Growing up, I watched Goldmember quite a bit.
But never one
and
two.
It wasn't until Sunday that I'd never seen one and two. And Goldmember's probably the worst one.
Really?
Yeah.
In terms of actual movie, yes. But Goldmember will always be my favorite.
And you know, Goldmember's the comeback one. I think there's a few years between the other two and Goldmember.
My God, the hardest I laughed in this franchise was in number two, the Jerry Springer segment with Dr. Evil and Scotty. And like that's how they announced in the movie that Dr. Evil's come back from space, is that he just appears in Jerry Springer.
Right. Yep.
So
I haven't
dumb.
Seen these in years. I need to.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Another dumb joke is Austin stopping mid-conversation to say to the girl in the first one, let's watch a movie. And then he goes over to the TV, turns on the TV, goes, Finn like Flynn. That's my favorite movie. And it's just like the movie's like, it's like he's just clicked play on the movie. And like it's not like he's turned the TV on halfway through the movie. He's turned it on as the second it started.
Yeah.
And then, the slow rolling steamroller death sequence.
It's with the edits and the cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
Oh, because then he's just shouting move. As he's
he just stands there as it slowly barrels towards him.
Yeah.
Oh, and if I remember that it cuts to like a rolling pin, someone making cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah. And then there's another great part in them they do is when they have a sequence where they go to say like there's a big dig spaceship in the sky and like look, oh my god, it kind of looks like a
hot
and then
dogs.
Someone goes Johnson
hot dogs.
Yeah, and someone goes Johnson, how's that report coming?
That's a great that is a great sequence.
That they're very funny. And then and like they get random people in it, like Woody Harrelson's in it in one of them. But yeah, number three, growing up watching it the most, Daddy Wasn't There. Daddy is certified there.
Yeah.
Fuck you
Take
and fuck
me.
Me.
The fair.
Change my underwear.
Yep.
That also just Michael Caine as Nigel Powers. There's two things I hate. I can't remember the word his first one is, but then he goes, and the Dutch.
Isn't there a scene of them? Excuse me. Isn't there a scene of them speaking Cockney to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's that same scene. It's when they first like the bed turns around. Yeah. It's in like all like sort of one good few minute sequence.
Mm.
And then she shat on her turtle.
Yeah. I remember
pears. I just remember that line.
Then there's piping a crepe.
Oh.
Schmoking a pancake.
Bonging a blitz.
Bonging a blitz.
Cigar and a waffle.
Cigar and a waffle.
And then you go, you got gold member. Oh, that's a keeper.
I love gold.
I love
gold.
Fat bastard.
Is it in Goldmember when it's they release the globe and it swings and hits him in the balls, like the little fake moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the globe that lands on his head.
Yeah. Look, the man knew how to do some slapstick.
Oh, it was the first two are hilarious. I think Dr. Evil's the funniest one.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Just his musical scenes in 2 and 3. are great. I think Fat Bastard is the point where that does take it over for me, and I'm just like, oh, okay, this is the weakest part of the film.
That was the one that was funniest as a kid, but doesn't hit now.
Yeah,
that Fat Bastard stealing his mojo and stuff.
Yeah, Fat Bastard stealing his mojo. Well done to whoever made the suit because it's truly grotesque. it is. Nightmare fuel. Oh, and the silhouette sequences are hilarious. In the tent.
All of these they bring back, like that and the dick thing they did with, I think, like breasts in another one. All Dr. Evil's spaceships are just shaped really inconveniently.
Yeah, inappropriately.
And yeah, what, the and tent?
The tent, and then in the third one, it's when they're doing the physical.
The medical
and
check.
He's got
yeah.
Mini-Me. He's got Mini-Me strapped to him.
Yeah, Mini-Me like strapped to him.
He gives birth to Mini-Me.
Yeah. And then in the first one, there's the good sequence where they use objects to cover up the nudity, which is funny. And then to a point where he hands her a photo of breasts and she holds them up and she goes, oh. And also, all the women in the films can get it. In the first one, you got Elizabeth Hurley. The second one, you got Heather Graham. And the third one, you got Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
So
Beyonce's looking... She's a whole lot of women.
I thought it was weird that... until I found out the reason why, that in the first... Like, the beginning of the second one just, like, retcons the whole first film and goes, no, the girl was a fembot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because they couldn't get her back. For like the whole shoot, she could only come back for a day.
See, as a kid, I was always like, "Oh, what? Like, how? Like, now it all makes sense."
Oh god! But yeah, no, I really enjoyed them all. And yeah, I think 2 is probably the funniest. Where he gets his mojo stolen. And yeah, but overall, really had a lot of fun with them. And then I just rewatched some Australian movie called The Dry. That was really good.
I've been meaning to actually watch that. I keep seeing it every now and again.
Yeah, a really good Australian movie. There's some good ones out there, trust me.
Is that a murder one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard of that.
Like detective murder one. Awesome. Very cool. Then I watched Mission Impossible Fallout 2 again. But that's just the best action movie ever made, maybe, except for Terminator 2 is the only one that really can rival it, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I was actually thinking about Terminator 2 the other day.
How good's Terminator 2?
I was looking up a bit about James Cameron because I saw an interview where he says that he taught himself like everything he knows about films.
Cool.
The first Terminator, like, he sold the script for almost for free, but he had to direct it.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
And then it's like, man, he would have made a lot of money on the second one, is all I was thinking, because, like, second one kicks ass.
The second one, I need to rewatch it again. Like, it's that and Fallout, which are probably my two favorite action films of all time.
Yeah. They just had that formula where they're like, Arnie being the robot in the first one was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and then him being the nice robot. So cool. So, and then the thumb going into the lava.
Yeah. We all cried.
We all cried. That's what it did. It made us cry. And the new Terminator was sick, the T-1000.
Duncana.
Yeah, fucking so cool. I did rewatch This Is the End. This was research watching. Okay. I wanted to see if it held up because I remember really enjoying this movie and I thought it would be a really easy one now that you put it and you go, this hasn't aged well.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, me and the boys saw that in the cinema and like lost our shit. Thought it was one of the best movie like cinema goes ever.
I can assure you it holds up. Except for, and I always thought about this. This is the one thing I do remember from it. Just the last 10, 15 minutes.
I feel like it wraps up.
Is that
pretty much
when they leave the house?
When they leave the house.
Yeah.
But when they do leave the house, you do get McBride. Channing Tatum. And that's enough to save it. But yeah, I think everything in the house is great.
Oh, it's so
the party's great. It's a shame that two of the main actors are now kind of assholes, being Jonah Hill and James Franco.
What have they done to condemn?
Franco groomed his college students when he was like a teacher.
I don't like that.
And
that's been a while
Jonah
now.
Hill,
that's been a few years.
Yeah, Seth Rogen dropped him instantly when that happened.
Nice.
And Jonah Hill's just come out last week being a jealous asshole who he had his previous girlfriend, who was a surfer before they got together. And then when they were in a serious relationship, he was really abusive towards her, manipulative. He'd tell her that she can't go surfing and he'd tell her that she can't hang out with her surfer male friends anymore.
Man, gotta let the girl surf.
Just really in control. Yeah, she's a professional surfer.
The girl wants to surf.
Just let us surf. So yeah, and then apparently more people have come out and started saying shit about him now. It just takes one man, and then they will come out.
It does.
So yeah, interesting. He was always a bit of a weirdo to me, personally. I thought that my thing that I really went, this guy is not normal, is when he gained a bunch of weight. And then told everyone it was because he was method acting to play a character in a film. And then you look at the character in real life, like the actor in the real life. Sorry, the real life version of the character he was playing.
Was this War Dogs?
Yeah, War Dogs.
Yeah.
And he's skinny.
Hey, man, let the guy, he just wants to eat.
I know, but don't.
Let the guy eat.
Wasn't there something of his that came out on Netflix, like, you know, like past like 6 months or something?
Yeah, that Maniac show was pretty weird. It's a very weird universe, but it was kind of cool.
That came out a while ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
That might be so. I thought there was like some documentary thingy about it.
I don't know.
But that might be the thing I'm thinking about.
Because say in This Is the End, it's McBride and Franco, like their confrontations. Oh. And then it's Jonah on like coming in with his high-pitched voice. He's playing like obviously that exaggerated Jonah.
He plays the nicest. He's trying to be the nicest guy in the world, but he's like,
yeah.
My favorite part of that movie is they just reveal that Jay's right and he is a cunt.
yeah.
He's like, just Jonah's being bang, a condescending bang. Asshole.
Oh, the with the gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
Oh, fighting over the Milky Way. Oh, I'm going to be bummed if I at least don't get a bite of the Milky Way.
The whole sequence of McBride waking up and just absolutely
cooking everything.
Just having
the,
a cook
pouring the water, it's, having a shower in the water.
Yeah, it's pouring the water over his feet. Like, and the funny thing is he doesn't even know what's going on outside.
Mm.
And he's just pouring water all over himself. McBride's great in it. He's really funny. Jay Baruchel, I wish he was in more things now.
I always liked him in
that. He's really good in that. Him and Seth, they do a great, like, it's written well because neither one of them is the asshole in the situation. Like, you both see their points of view.
Mm.
Where, like, you know, it was so easy to make one of them the one you're not meant to root for, but I guess you can't because they're real life people and you're meant to enjoy them both. But, like, you got Jay's perspective where, like, he just wants to, you know, kind of chill and, like, get away from all the Hollywood stuff. And then Seth just wants Jay to, like, be a part of his new Hollywood life. He, like, wants his old friends to hang out. Good movie.
I'm glad it holds up. I haven't watched it in a few years, but I've always...
The Pineapple Express 2 stuff is great as well.
Craig Robertson's so good at it as well.
Yeah. There are all the mains are great in it. All the main ones in the house, they're all... They were really entertaining and they vote Danny off the island. And yeah. Really funny. Really, really funny. Franco giving Seth Rogen crackers and just going up to him and goes, "What's some cheese without some crackers?" And just like prison gives them to him. like it's contraband because he's got his own little stash. And then it reveals later once they find the stash, he's got way more than crackers and he just gets pissed that he only got crackers from it. Good movie. Good movie. Well, everyone. Oh, I've gone into the darkness. Did anyone else watch anything this week? I'm done. I'm out.
Nah.
I think
I've run out of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, I'll just give a quick update on the box office. See how we're all going.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did miss that last week.
We did. The one here we're going to do. Good enough. This one's good enough. Alrighty. Quick little update, if I can get it up. Alright, here it is. Alright, you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I can't hear you. Imagine if I was really like that, how annoying would I be? Oh, God. There it is. Alrighty. So Michael's still in the lead with 1.5 billion. Although Michael's got no more movies to come out.
I have one.
You got one, sorry, yes, Oppenheimer. Not a big movie, so you're fine.
Oh yeah.
So you might be in trouble there. It's not.
Yeah, no hype behind that.
No hype. Chris, you're in third with 1.3. You still got TMNT to come out, which I reckon will do you well. People were excited for that. It's a kids movie. And then you got Strays coming out, which is exciting. Then there's me, 1.4 Bill. I've still got Haunted Mansion, Gran Turismo, and Talk to Me to come out. So excited for them. And then Brayden with $345 million. He's still got Barbie, Blue Beetle, Meg to come out. Loves, he might be in trouble unless Barbie makes all the money.
Is gonna make a lot of money.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah,
it's gonna make all the fucking money. Yeah, Mission Impossible didn't do too flash for its opening weekend. It had a lower opening than Indiana Jones.
Oh really?
There has been a lot of them.
Mission Impossible's?
Yeah. Like, no, everyone's in, I think everyone thinks of it as like, yeah, that's going to be like a pretty good action movie. But yeah, maybe it's not, it's not first on their list, like the new.
I think a lot of people are now not going out opening weekend, because if you look at what we've had this year, there's been some pretty big disappointments.
Well, a lot of things.
Flash.
Run back the tape.
Great one, did they? Did it?
Let's rewind.
Indies wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Indie didn't do.
People are being harsh to Indy. Yeah. They need to get over themselves and go watch the originals again.
So, like, and like, I think The Flash did a lot of damage. Also, I think word of mouth coming out before the movie isn't enough now to make people go see it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear it from their friends. Because, like The Flash's campaign was to pay a lot of high profile people to say that the movie's amazing. And it didn't work. It's like that $267 million. That movie's now on streaming and VOD.
Already?
Yeah, you can buy The Flash for $30 and watch it at home now. That number's not getting any higher, getting much higher than that.
Jesus, yeah.
So, and you look at it compared to shit like, look at Transformers. Who would have thought that Transformers Rise of the Beast outgrossed Flash?
Mm,
worldwide. These are worldwide too. This is just not Americans. This is the whole world. Like, people don't, like, you know... Crazy. Fast X, it's a $700 million. Fuck off. It's made so much money.
Hey, Guardians, you still, A, with the number one pick, have got the most amount of money.
But here's the thing. Guardians is also the oldest movie on
that list. That is also true.
Mm. So, you know, we're not going to get to the end of August. I'm just going to cut it off. And Chris's movie's been out for two, and TMNT's been out for 2 weeks. And we're like, well, that's it.
We let them have their run.
Yeah.
Please. It's basically until the last movie is out of theaters where we'll go.
Yeah.
Everything's going to get the same amount of time.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, that'd be so fucking rough. You're probably going to make a lot of money. Mission Impossible's done all right. It's almost outgrossed Flash and it's been out for a week. You know, horror movies don't do great normally. Insidious, that's a pretty good number for Insidious.
Well, that's why I was hesitant to take. Because I reckon when we did it last year or so, or the year before, I had Conjuring.
People rather watch them at home.
Yeah, I had Conjuring, and that was COVID time. But that really didn't hit as big as I thought. So,
from my experience, horror movies are also the worst movies to see in theaters because they have the worst crowd.
Yeah.
So Insidious has made a bit of money. Joyride and The Machine are. Fortunately, are not great.
Nah.
Well, I hear Joyride's really good, and I hear The Machine's pretty fun, but I just don't think that will. Many people went out to go see him. Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken's also out on VOD now, so that won't make too much more money. And basically, what we got left is Strays, TMNT, Oppenheimer, Barbie, The Trench, Blue Beetle, and Stray.
Oppenheimer, Barbie, this week, right?
Yeah. Yep. Seeing them both back-to-back Thursday.
Well,
I'm starting with Oppenheimer.
Okay.
I feel like that's the wiser choice.
I don't know.
No, I feel like if I've already been in the theater all day, Barbie's going to be the one.
To make you happier.
Be an easier watch at the end. Yeah,
but are you going to be able to settle into a fun Barbie watch after, like, the realist... Like thinking about, you know, the bomb and stuff.
I have an hour and a bit separation.
Okay. Okay.
So I might go get some dinner and contemplate my life.
Mull it over.
I think, I don't know, I just had to do it, right? That was the biggest meme of it. And I'm like, I did it without taking work off, which is pretty fun.
Nice.
I'm excited for them both. I think Oppenheimer's probably going to be like, I think Oppenheimer's going to be great. I think that's going to be probably best movie of the year. With 3 hour runtime too. So it's got like, they've given it, you know, we're not rushing through Oppenheimer.
No, they've given it time. We like a long movie. Yeah. Well, I should say I like a long movie.
Yeah, I like a long movie when it matters. You know, I think Avatar 2 maybe took it too far.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I know, Chris, you're probably really excited for this. Are you going to go see Oppenheimer opening night?
Not opening night, but I will be seeing it. Pretty keen. Yeah. Pretty excited.
Yeah.
Banned in Japan. Interesting.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, that's a bit fair.
Not necessarily. I mean, that, you know, it's part of their history,
did,
I guess.
They did drop them on Japan.
Yeah, like, and Japan didn't do it. Yeah. So I don't know if it's the subject matter regarding the American doings or Japanese doings, but we'll see. There's a lot of things that happen in World War II that the Japanese government still does not admit to.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if it's along those lines or it's just too sensitive of a topic to make a Hollywood movie on. I hope it's along those lines rather than it's them covering up war crimes.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting that it's been banned over there. I'm sure there's a reason out there that they've given officially. That's probably bullshit. But we'll find out. I guess the truth when we'll watch it.
It could be
we'll
a fair reason. Could be a mysterious reason.
Yes. Well, guys, that's the show this week. Millennial Movie Talk episode 212. Episode 212. Millennial Movie Talk. I'm your host, Alex. Check us out on everything we do. I've been joined by Michael.
Hello.
And Christian tonight. I don't normally do the outro, so I'm freaking out.
It's okay. Doing well.
Thank you. Check us out on everything we do down below. And as always, I'm Alex.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Michael.
And we're out of here. Goodbye.